Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
It's been a confronting 12 months to watch the news, from my observations both as a purveyor of it, a news reader, and personally as a viewer reader, perhaps more than usual. The tragedy of Newtown, USA, the Syrian uprising, the Colorado theatre massacre, Boston bombings, Afghani Taliban attacks, the UK soldier hacked to death, it goes on and on. I wonder if you've been feeling like this as well. Maybe with all our pervasive media, rolling news channels, we're just seeing more of it, more intensely. Have you actually had a personal response to it all? Maybe turning the news off. Mind you, that won't make it go away. If you're a parent, what are you telling your kids? We'd love you to join an open house conversation at the top of the program on Our Violent World, 1300 40 20 20. These are events that the Reverend Samuel Rodriguez has been reflecting on deeply. He says the spirit of three biblical characters, all named Herod, lives on in our world today. Yet in the midst of it all, there is a spirit more powerful than the spirit of Herod, that of Jesus Christ. So how do we respond to a violent culture? Let's hear now from the Reverend Samuel Rodriguez, who's one of America's most influential Hispanic leaders. CNN named him the leader of the Hispanic evangelical movement. Samuel Rodriguez, welcome to Open House.
Thank you for having me.
It's a great privilege to have you on the program. Thanks so much. Do you think the news, our world, is a more violent place? Is that your observation?
It is. Without a doubt, it is. And it's interesting because we juxtapose the reality that we are more violent. One cannot argue historically more than ever before, but in light of our technological advances, in light of societal evolution, in light of this globalization of information and mass information overload, we would assume that with this higher grade of cognitive acumen accomplishment, we would be a lot more civil and less violent. Nevertheless, we are as violent as we have ever been. And we may even argue that these technological advances, that culturally on so many planes, we may be becoming even more violent. I argue that the violence and the increase of violence is directly proportional to our collective diluting of the image of God in every human being. We no longer see the Imago Dei. We no longer see the image of God, the image of the divine in every single human being. And because we no longer recognize that every life has value, we engage in this continual cycle of violence. I call it the spirit of Herod. I engage biblical metaphors, and I reference Herod, three Herods in Scripture in the New Testament. All of them were extremely violent. One of them killed little children before the age of two in the time of Jesus. The other one decapitated John the Baptist. And the other one was responsible for murdering disciples and the first churchgoers. So Herod represents the spirit of violence. But in the midst of it all, I still believe that there is truly a more powerful spirit alive on the planet. And that is the spirit of Jesus Christ. That's the spirit of Almighty God, the spirit of hope.
You mentioned our technological advancements before. You don't think that it's just that we're seeing more of it and seeing it more intensely in our media?
I think it's both and. I think we're seeing it more in media. We're seeing it, we see it incorporated in everything from music to videos to game videos to movies. We see it around us. Popular culture stands saturated with strong, violent threads. And to a great degree, what took place in the Holocaust in the 1940s, because of the lack of a mass media dissemination platform such as television or the internet, we were baffled. We were taken back by the atrocities committed by the Nazis in World War II. But then came 9/11. And when we saw what took place in 9/11, when we see radical fundamentalists decapitating individuals on the internet, when we see so much violence, the mutilation of the UK soldier, when we see all these things, the Boston Marathon, to a degree we become immune because it's constantly around us. And to me, that is shameful. There is a culture of violence exacerbated by popular culture. What we need to do is build a firewall. How do we build that firewall? By number one, recognizing that every single human being has value. Black and white, yellow, brown, conservative or liberal, gay or straight, Christian and non-Christian, atheist and believer, every single human being has value. And that value stems from the fact that the image of God resides in every single human being. I would go even further, and I know it's a bit controversial, and I know it's extremely controversial, but I do believe that even we begin this violent culture, or we initiate this violent inclination even via some of our public policy initiatives. When we abort so many human beings that are made in the image of God, from the beginning we are endorsing a culture of violence.
Samuel, of all the violence in the biblical narrative, and there is a lot of it, why do you particularly focus on Herod and say that there's a spirit of those men in our age today?
Because it's New Testament. If we look back at the Old Testament, there are so many moments of violence, and much of it speaking more referencing to Israel's campaign to expand and enlarge and take over the Promised Land, much of it referenced within the context of war and conquest. But in the New Testament, we see this anomaly, this new presentation, this new narrative, mind you, where we have a king, someone in authority, that is intentionally persecuting a particular age group or a particular religious belief or a particular ideology. And in that persecution, the end game was nothing other than execution. So it's new. It's not the Old Testament. It's the New Testament. It's new contextualization. It's done in such a way that it speaks to our current reality. That's why I choose Herod, and I'm not referencing Goliath. And I'm not referencing Absalom. I'm referencing intentionally Herod because it speaks to the New Covenant era. And I do believe that the spirit of Herod, via the conduit of biblical allusions and metaphors, really permeates. I'm sorry, but I do believe there's good and evil in the world. And I do believe that to a great degree, there is a degree of spiritual warfare. And I do believe that the culture of violence stands next to a culture of sexual exploitation. So we see both these two powers, mind you, attempting to dilute the good and the common good and the image of God in human beings and communities.
In dealing with the question of, therefore, what do we do, what do we think about it, you've suggested 4 points, and I want to take those two by two, if you don't mind. The first two are re-embrace the prophetic and reclaim the image of God. Take us through what you mean there.
Silence is not an option. And I am a Christian. As a follower of Jesus Christ, silence is not an option. When the Spirit of God descended in the upper room, the first thing Peter did was he stood up and he spoke prophetically. There is no such animal as comfortable Christianity. There is no such thing as complacent Christianity. We have a prophetic imperative. What made Martin Luther King Jr. so successful was his prophetic impetus, prophetic courage. So we need to reclaim our prophetic posture and speak truth to power, speak truth into culture. We, the church, the Bible, believe, even the church, the Catholic, the evangelical, the Protestant, the followers of Jesus should be the first ones standing against the spirit of violence. Number two, we must recognize the image of God. I want to see a global Imago Dei movement. I want to see a global Imago Dei, the image of God movement, where across the board, we message this powerful idea that the image of God resides in every human being, and every human being has value. That, my friend, will convey a very powerful message to the next generation. Every time they play that video game, they see that movie, they're surrounded by a hostile environment against the other. Every single time, they at least have a seed embedded in their minds and in their spirits where they say, hold on a second. Doesn't the image of God reside in that human being? How can I harm someone that carries the image of God?
So they are the first 2 points. Re-embrace the prophetic, reclaim the image of God. Your Third and fourth are reconsider the power of words and rethink the proper response. What do you mean by those two points, Samuel?
Rhetorical pornography. We are not only killing people in the womb and out of the womb, we're not only killing them in our communities and in our neighborhoods in mass acts of terror, but we're killing them with our words. Rhetorical pornography, the way that we speak down about groups because we disagree with them, the way that we label individuals, the verbal bullying, mind you, we need to stop that. And again, I believe people of faith should be the first ones opposing rhetorical pornography. We launched a campaign against bullying in the United States and expanded that to Latin America for grade schoolers and primary school students to understand that the image of God resides in every single human being. And then beyond addressing the issue of rhetorical pornography, it really takes prophetic activism and forward advocacy in order for us to advance this idea of common ground reconciliation. In other words, we're going to disagree with people, but we need to create space. We need to learn to love those that don't love us, to bless those that curse us, to forgive those that have offended us, and we need to really reach out with civility as we speak truth, but with civility. In other words, reconcile conviction with compassion.
That's what you suggest is our response to our violent and increasingly violent culture. What do you say about the offenders? What's to be done with them if this violent culture is increasing? What do governments do? Is there anything that we can do, think or say about the offender?
As a follower of Christ, we want to likewise create space to provide a facilitative platform for the grace of Jesus to reach even the offenders. And that's difficult, by the way. It's very difficult. The most difficult thing that we can do, if we really want to emulate Jesus, it's not resurrecting the dead. But the greatest thing that Jesus ever did was forgive. It's forgiveness. Now, that forgiveness does not dilute or relinquish the horizontal consequences, the punitive consequences that stem out of the rule of law, which Romans 13 would affirm. So in applying the rule of law, we definitely need to make sure that those laws stand enacted, that justice does take place, that individuals that offend do pay the horizontal, terrenal, judicial price for their crimes and for their violent behavior. And we need to demonstrate that. We need to collectively say, our generation will stand up against the spirit of Herod. And we'll do that by advocating public policy initiatives in our respective countries and regions that recognize the image of God, but do not permit the spirit of violence to go unchecked. That's the fair balance of the Christian message.
Samuel, can I conclude our conversation with a personal question to you? When you see on the news another massacre, when you see perhaps the Boston bombings from a couple of months ago, what goes on in your mind? What goes on in your heart personally when you see them?
There's brokenness, there is sorrow, dismay, in understanding that the human condition continues to evolve, but not positively. We continue to spiral downwards morally. What goes through my mind is the fact that we are confronting an age of moral relativism, of cultural decadence and of spiritual apathy, and to a great degree, ecclesiastical lukewarmness. But in the midst of all that, there's also hope. Hope that the only thing that can bring comfort is the graceful extension of this wonderful gospel message of Christ. In the midst of the Boston Marathon, I saw light. Light that comes through compassionate outreach in the name of Jesus.
Reverend Samuel Rodriguez, I'm really grateful for your time. Thank you so much for getting a conversation underway here on Open House. Much appreciated.
Thank you for having me. Many blessings.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.